Joining us now, Hall of Famer, former Red Sox, it's Carlton Fisk. How you doing, Carlton?
I'm doing well. How's it up there?
Oh, it's great. And hey, first of all, let me straighten it out. You were born in Vermont, but you lived in New Hampshire. Was the closest hospital was in Vermont. You wanted to make sure everybody in the Baseball Hall of Fame knew you were from New Hampshire, right? Did I get that all right or what, Carlton?
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, the family doctor was in Bells Falls, Vermont, and so that's where the hospital was.
So you're a Vermonter, but not really.
Well, I'm a, I'm a Vermonter by birth and a New Hampshireite by life, you know.
Right.
So
it's,
I grew up in New Hampshire, but I played my Legion ball in Bellis Falls, Vermont, and had a terrific time doing that.
There you go. Hey, it was the 41st year anniversary. As if I needed to tell you this week, I'm sure you're reminded maybe once or twice of that famous home run that you waved fair. Do you still remember that like it was yesterday?
No, not quite. My memory's not quite that good anymore. See, it seems like I look at that, you know, when they show it, I go, who was that young guy that did that? I have a hard time remembering back that far. But I remember, you know, a lot about it. You know, there's certain things that have passed by, but knowing that it was a long series, knowing it was a wet series,
that's right.
The weather was brutal, and knowing it was a long night, and, I was ready to go home about 11 o'clock.
It was Bernie Carbo's fault.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I saw Bernie, last year, I guess. He said, Fisk, you'd have been nothing without me.
That's awesome. Hey, let me ask you this, because when you hit the home run, we looked up the list. Your home run is listed number 6 as the most memorable home run in baseball history. Did you know at that time that someday it'd be known for even till now, or you had no idea it'd be this important?
No, I at that time, you're just happy as heck that he won the game and we get a chance to go on. But to know that it's just hard to believe that it's part of baseball lore. You know, the fact that, maybe that's the most exciting part, the most inviting part about baseball is that people really are nostalgic about baseball history. And a lot of people can tell me a lot more about what I did on the baseball field than I can tell you. But it's. I think that's what baseball is. That's what, transcends all the generations. And so you can compare today with yesteryear. The thing that's hard to compare is the salaries, but you can compare the stats.
Carl, I mean, it's funny because everybody remembers that home run, and yet nobody remembers the fact that the Red Sox went on to lose Game 7.
Oh, did you have to bring that up?
Hey, I'm a Sox lifer, so I feel like I can do that. But, but I mean, does that sort of, at any point, even 41 years later, does that sort of dull the excitement of that home run, or if you sort of...
Oh, no. I keep telling, every year we go to Cooperstown, and I see Perez, and I see Bench, and I say, you guys know that we won that series 3-4, don't you? So they said, get out of here. Come on. We were ahead in the previous game, 3-0 in the 7th inning,
yes.
And rain delay, and Bill Lee went back out there, and the game got tied up, and they ended up winning. If they had the relievers that we have today, Bill wouldn't have gone back out there. The reliever would have taken over. We probably would have won that game, and then the 6th game would have been the series winner. That's what I think about sometimes.
Imagine what that would have been like.
Carlton Fisk.
I can't even imagine.
Carlton Fisk, Hall of Famer, joining us here on The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. Can you imagine if you're a catcher now, all you have to worry about is batting because nobody's stealing a base anymore. You don't have to worry about that anymore, Carlton.
Well, the value of a stolen base has been diminished over the, I don't know how many years, decades maybe, but I don't know whether it's because I'll tell you, a lot of things have changed at the plate, so the hitters have more of an advantage now. So I think organizations and managers kind of waiting around for the offense to explode.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you could pitch inside, you could scare hitters, you could, you could pitch to guys. Now you have to throw to guys because you can't really work the strike zone like you could. You can't work the plate. You can't work the hitter. Back in the day,
if you
could scare a hitter, he was out. Now they don't have to worry about that because they get warned and the catcher can't stand around the plate. If he makes contact before the ball or before the plate, the play's reviewed and you can't slide into second. Here I go. I sound like an old guy.
That's right. You're talking with a couple of 50-somethings here, so we're with you.
I love it.
But so in that respect, I look at it and say, geez, they've dumbed this game down to where it's a little softer game now than it used to be. So you really don't have to manufacture runs.
Yeah.
You know, they talked about Kansas City last year playing small ball. No, they played baseball.
Yeah.
They didn't play small ball. They played baseball. That's how you're supposed to play. But a lot of times you wait around for the double and then the walk and then the three-run homer.
With that in mind, do you like the way the game is played now, though? Really? Can you sit back and watch a game and think about things like pace of play interfering with it or replay coming into it? What are your thoughts on today's game?
I really, a lot of what the replay is being used for right now is not what it was intended to do. You know, when that guy slides into second base and his hand comes off the base for pulling, 1/1,000,000,000th of a second,
yeah, right.
And they tag him by a quarter of an inch, and they call him out, or they call him safe, or whatever, that's not what it's intended for, I don't think. Let's talk about the pace of play. That has been in contention. That's been a contended thing for a long time, you know, and baseball's probably the only game. There is not a shot clock. There's
right.
not a quarter. There's no time involved, and that's why it is timeless, I think, is that you can go, and if you enjoy baseball, it doesn't make any difference whether it takes an hour and 59 minutes or 4 hours and 59 minutes if baseball is played. I mean, there's all kinds of ways guys can really slow the game down that's not very appealing, but as a catcher, the way the pitching staffs are used now, it would be appealing to me as a catcher. That way I could, you know, the only thing I couldn't do is I couldn't look in the dugout and wait for somebody to give me a sign for the dugout. And I couldn't, people asked me the other day whether I would go out. What do you do when you go out into the game, out to the mound? Do you coddle the players? I went, I haven't really been accused of being a coddler. You go out there and you make sure that they're aware of what's going on. And this is serious business. This isn't just some sandlot game you play, behind the school somewhere. But the fact that you can only, as a starter, only has to throw five innings, quality start. Now it's five innings and three runs or four runs. And it used to be seven innings and three runs. So now you've got your middle left-handed, right-handed. You've got your setup left-handed and right-handed. Then you get your ace that comes in at the end. So as a catcher, that would be a lot of fun. But as a pitcher, as a hitter, it's a nightmare.
I can imagine.
When I first started playing, you could almost guarantee you'd get three, maybe four bats against the same guy. And by the time you get your third or fourth at bat, you kind of get into the rhythm of what he's thrown and how he's doing it, and you've seen his pitches and his delivery and all kinds of stuff. Of course, this is before video and, all that studying and stuff that goes on. But now, there was a number of times.
Yeah.
And this was a long time ago, even. That you'd play a game and you'd have four or five at bats and you'd face four or five pitchers.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. By the way, Carlton Fisk joining us here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Carlton, I got to ask you, how tough was it for you to make the decision to leave from the Red Sox to the White Sox? And was it a tough decision to go into the Hall of Fame as a Red Sox instead of a White Sox, or not really?
Well, see, a lot of people don't understand how I became a free agent. And it was because the two guys who were running the clubs after Mr. Yawkey died in the 70s, Buddy LaRue and Haywood Sullivan. And the reason I left was because they did not tender me a contract, period. So, I challenged that and had to go in front of an arbitrator in New York. He ruled in favor of me. I became an unrestricted free agent. And as they, sort of had admitted that, we forgot, or we didn't understand the things.
We forgot.
I went, wait a minute, this is a uniform players contract. It's been going on for 100 years. What do you mean you don't know what's going on? The thing that happened was that they never, after the New York thing and the arbitrator thing and I became a free agent, they never did make me an offer.
Wow.
So I became and that's when Chicago made an offer, and so I went there.
No ill feelings then? So you still went in as a Red Sox, though? No ill feelings?
Well, I grew up in New Hampshire.
Yes.
Little town, Charlestown, New Hampshire. One of those towns so small, you look both ways, you can see it all.
Yep.
No traffic lights, no swimming pool, no movie theaters, that kind of thing. We had about 1,000 people, and my graduating class was the largest ever, and we had 32 kids. So how I got to be a major league player and made it to the Hall of Fame, that is only can be answered from the guy up in the sky there. He's the only guy that knows that answer.
By the way, Carlton Fisk joining us here on the Huddle with Rich and Artie on 101.3 ESPN.
By the way, Carlton, one problem with you not being a resident of Vermont is that you can't cast a vote for Bill Lee in the gubernatorial election.
I want so badly to attend a debate or an interview down. Oh man, that is really true too.
Yeah, you got any Bill Lee stories that can be said on live radio?
here's the thing. You know, Bill, I like him. He's just different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll say.
Obviously, and he goes to Montreal, plays in Montreal, gets done playing in Montreal. Now he's living in upstate Vermont, and he has a call-in talk show to a radio station back in Canada.
Right.
And the name of the radio show is Answers from Space.
Yep.
Yeah. So that might tell you all I need to know about some of his answers, but he's a real guy, and he's concerned about just the way of life, the way people live. So it's getting out of control. The politicians, I think, are losing grip with the people, and Bill wants to come back. So, well, you know, if I was here, I don't know if I'd vote for him, but I might stump for him.
There you go.
Well, Carl, we appreciate you stopping by, man. This is a lot of exciting for us, and we have a lot of Red Sox fans up here, and a lot of them wanted to hear from you, and we just wanted to have you on, and we really do appreciate you coming by, and we'd love to do it again. And if you're ever up here in Burlington, Rich is a big deal, so he'll buy you lunch, okay?
Oh, sweet. I'll be down at McDonald's somewhere. So.
There you go. The Golden Arches away.
I know. That's the thing is that I went in the Hall of Fame as a Red Sox, but the beginning of that answer was that I grew up in New Hampshire. Boston is my hometown, my favorite team, and there's no way that I could divorce myself from that home run. So that particular decision wasn't difficult at all.
Yeah. Living the dream.
Appreciate it, buddy. Take care. Thank you very much.
Yes,
I love it. Carlton Fisk, everybody.